Now this morning I'm turning to the Gospel of John chapter 3 and verse 3. John chapter 3 and verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And our title this morning is The Necessity of Conversion. Last month, when we had the opportunity, we learned about some mistakes about conversion. What people think are conversion, which they are not. And today we are going to learn about the nature of conversion. Why is it necessary? Why is it people should be converted before they can have relationship with God? And then the biblical way of being converted. And this is explained in what we just read. It's clear. Christ said, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And usually when Christ speaks and he says, Verily, verily, it means it's very, very important and very, very true. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. There's no other way anybody can go to God without being born again. So, go to the background of this account in John chapter 3. There are some very important thoughts in this message, this John's account. And the major theme of the passage is the new birth, as Christ said. And Christ makes four references to this account of new birth, that man must be born again. In chapter 3, verse 3, verse 5, verse 7, and verse 8, in all of them, he's emphasizing on how a man must be born again. Number two, three times Christ uses the phrase, truly, truly, as I said, very, very, stressing the importance of the subject. And in chapter 3, verse 3, it is there. Chapter 3, verse 5, it is there. Verse 11, you can find it there. Which means Christ is stressing on the new birth as the only way that we can have access to God. And the third important thought, there are only two references to the kingdom of God in John's gospel. And all these two are to be found in this chapter 3, which is chapter 3, verse 3, and then chapter 3, verse 5. We are not turning there because of time, but you can later on go and search for yourself. The fourth point is that the first use of eternal life in this gospel also is found the same place in chapter 3, verse 15, when Christ said, Those who will believe will have eternal life, and those who will not believe will be condemned in hell. The fifth point, the term believe is also used seven times in this account. So many of them, we can't count all of them. Chapter 3, verse 12, verse 18, in all of them, Christ mentioned, You must believe, believe and believe. That is why we emphasize on believing as the only means of salvation. Salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, not by works. And then the sixth point is that John uses the term light also five times in this same account. And it's in chapter 3, verse 19 up to 21. If you read, you see that he's talking about the light in all those verses. Now, like I said earlier on, the necessity of this new birth is clearly seen in what Christ said to Nicodemus. Remember, Nicodemus was also one of the teachers of the Pharisees. He was well versed in scriptures. But he came to him in the night and asked him, How can man be saved? Remember what Christ said, that except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And why is it that man must be born again before he can see the kingdom of God? It is because of the ugliness and the corruption of our natural hearts. Because of sin, we are so corrupted, we are so ugly before God, that we can never, never have access to God until we are cleansed and redeemed from that state of sin that we were born with by heritage. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, Apostle Paul said that a natural man receives not the good, a natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Not until you are converted, the gospel will be foolish to you. Because we can see when we go out on visitation, people want what they can earn now, like how they can make it in this world. When you tell them about being born again, about judgment and about death, they look at your face and they think you are stupid. Because they are thinking of what they can get now. And it's all because people are not realizing the sinfulness of their heart. How we are, how we have been turned from dignity into disgrace. God created us in his own image, in his own glory. Because of sin, because of Satan's deceit, we have lost that glory. And now, men have turned to be like animals. Sorry to say this. But now you can see from the way man is behaving now, men sleeping with men, things that even animals do not do. Look at our dressing today, especially the ladies. They are growing their fingernails. Is it not animals who have those fingernails? Look at things that are happening in the world now. If you look at them, you can see that man is turning to be animals. And if Christ doesn't come as early as possible, we don't know what will happen next. The depravity is so serious that it's affecting all aspects of our lives. And people don't see. People think sin is nothing. Oh, as for God, he understands that nobody can be perfect. That's what people are saying. But God is God. He will never do what he has said. He will never do what he said he won't do. He said nobody can come to him except the person is born again. Now, because of our nature, we are inclined to evil. Our heart appeals to evil. We love our enemies, isn't it? We love our enemies more than our friends. Our soul's enemies are the things that we love, the things that will destroy us. Alcohol, sexual immorality, drugs, these are all the things that are destroying the human heart. And yet, this is what we yearn for. Nobody wants to hear the word of God. They want the things that will destroy them. Now, in the news, they are talking about some medication, some drug that has come and that all the young people are taking now. You see, people don't want to face reality. They just want things that will blur their minds. And then they think, oh, everything is okay. That is why people go to churches and you see them dancing and doing all sorts of things. They want to forget the reality of life, that you must repent and come to God and be saved. They think they do all those things to feel happy and to forget about what is in store for them. But God has said that his wrath is against anybody who has not been born again. And so it is because of this tactic of our faith that we need to be cleansed from the guilt and sin, but we also need to be delivered from the power of that sin. Because we are not doing that because we ourselves want it. Even Paul, who was converted, said that things that he wants to do, he cannot do. What he doesn't want to do is what he does because of the sin in us. So, and not until this sin is dealt with and we are delivered from it, we can never be restored to the image that God has set for us. The Spirit must let in the light in our heart and then put everything in its place and create all things new. That is the only way we can be reconciled to God. Remember that when Christ comes to save somebody, there are two distinct things that Christ does in the soul of that person. First, he washes him from his sins in his own blood. Christ washes us from our sins in his own blood once we come to believe in him, and then give us free pardon. Once we believe in him, we are given a free pardon. Pardon from the sins that we were born with in Adam, the sins that we have committed on our own, and even the one that we are yet to commit, in all of them, he pardoned us from. And that is what we call justification. You are justified. Even though you are a sinner, you are condemned to death, you are not worthy to live, but to die, he has died for you to save you from that situation only by you believing in him. And then when he does that, he also puts the Holy Spirit into your heart. When you come to confess your sins and he forgives you, he doesn't leave you there because he knows you have an enemy who is going to take that from you. So he also puts the Holy Spirit in your heart and then makes you an entirely new man, which is what conversion is about. It is called also called regeneration. You are regenerated from your original state and being given a new birth. And these two things are very, very necessary to salvation. the change of the heart is as necessary as the pardon and the vice versa. They are all necessary, because if you are pardoned, you need to be sanctified, you need to be regenerated, so you can now live a clean life. Every justified man is also a converted man. Once you are justified, then you are converted. Because when Christ grants you with peace, he also grants you power to become a son of God. Because not until you are converted, you are only a creature of God. You need to be converted to become a true son of God. In Mark chapter 16, verse 15, we are not turning there. But Christ said that he that believeth shall be baptized, but he that believeth not shall be damned. That means shall be condemned. If you don't believe that you are a sinner and you need to be converted, you are going to be damned. And in Romans chapter 8, verse 9, he said, if any man has not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. If you don't have his Spirit, you are none of his. You are none of the child of God or of Christ. Remember last month when we had the opportunity, we also learned that this conversion is the work of all the three heads of God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. For instance, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, it is called the sanctification of the Spirit. This conversion, it is called sanctification of the Spirit. In 1 Peter, the Apostle Paul teaches us to bless the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has begotten us, which is like born again, into a lively hope. And the third one, Christ is said to give repentance unto Israel. And in Hebrews 2 verse 13, we are regarded as the children which God has given unto Christ. So if all the three are involved in this, our new birth. Now, I want us to see the description given to somebody who is converted, a converted person. What is conversion in a person's life according to the scriptures? The first one is starting from the Old Testament. In Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 19 and 36 to 26, chapter 36 and 26, it is referred to as a taking away of the stony heart and giving of an heart of flesh. Giving a new heart and putting within us a new spirit. That is what is described by Ezekiel the prophet. And in John chapter 1 verse 13, chapter 3 verse 3 and verse 6, it is called being born of God, being born again, being born of the Spirit. That is how the converted person is described. In Acts chapter 3 verse 19, repenting and being converted. You are repenting, and then you are also being converted. In Romans chapter 6 verse 13, say, being alive from the dead. Not until you are converted, you are dead. So you are brought alive when you are converted. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1, it is called resurrection together with Christ. You have been quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. And in Ephesians 4 verse 22 and 24, it says, putting off the old man, which is corrupt, being renewed in the spirit of our mind, and putting on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and in true holiness. Colossians chapter 3 verse 9 and 10, is putting off the old man with his deeds, and putting on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. That means you are being restored to the image of God who created you, after you lost that image through the sin of our forefather Adam. And in Titus chapter 3 verse 5, it is called the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. And the last one, in 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9, John 3:14, being called out of darkness into God's kingdom, or passing from death to life. All this describes the converted person, what conversion is about. And in all of them, as you can see, it involves a radical change of your heart and your nature. And like I said, no human being can attain all this. And that is why we emphasize on salvation by grace alone, but not your works. If it's by works, no human being can be saved, because no human being can satisfy the requirement of Christ. In fact, you have to be like Christ. If you want to work it on your own, you have to be like Christ, who never sinned. So God must see you as Christ, who never sinned. And there's no way you can do that on your own except you trust in God, and He imputes that unto you. Now let's see how the Bible also describes the unconverted man. In Revelation chapter 18, he is referred to as a cage of unclean birds. A cage of unclean birds. Unclean birds that have been put in a cage. That is how Revelation refers to the unconverted man. In Matthew chapter 23, verse 27, he is referred to as a sepulcher full of corruption and rottenness. There are so many of them, but because of time, I'll just mention these two. That is how the Bible describes someone who has not been converted. You are rotten, you are corrupt. Not like you are a little bit better, you are completely dead. There's nothing good in you. So if you see this sad state of man as compared to what we have just said, like putting away the old self and giving you a new heart, as compared to the what we have just learned about the unclean beds and the corruption and the rottenness of the heart. Because of all this, what is in you are all evil thoughts, murderers, and like it is said in Galatians chapter 5, verse 19, all the negative sides of life can be seen there. And all these things are in you because of the original sin that we inherited from Adam. So it is like God created you. If you look at the account of creation, God said everything He has created was good. So man was also good before sin entered. We were good. God created us as instruments of good works, but Satan has turned it into an instrument of evil. And if you look at all these things, I hope you agree with me that you need to be converted before you can come to a holy, holy, holy God and then glorify Him and enjoy Him forever. In fact, this is the reason why we were created, to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. But we can never do this in the state we are now until we are cleansed and restored back to our previous and original image. Then we can worship God better and then enjoy Him forever and ever. Now, I want to also give you about three or four reasons why we need to be converted. One, without conversion, in fact, your whole being is in vain. If you are not converted and you live in this world in your original state of sin and live throughout sin and die in sin and end up in hell, then your whole life has been in vain, isn't it? There's nothing good in you. You come to live in this world as a child, you go to school, you grow, you marry, you work, you retire, and you die. So if this is how life is about, then it's in vain. You come and live like this, and in the end, you go to hell. God would never create us like that. He created us so that we can enjoy Him forever and ever, and then serve Him. So if you come and like the cycle I've given you, this has been your life, you live like this in sin, and then you don't repent, and you go back to your grave in sin, then you are the most miserable person. Yet some people think that Christians are the most miserable, but as you can see here, the unconverted man is the most miserable person. Then number two, without conversion, your hope is in vain. In Job chapter 8, verse 12 to 13, we are told that the hope of the hypocrite shall perish. That is in Job chapter 8, verse 12 to 13. Without conversion, you shall never know peace, according to Isaiah 59, verse 8. Without conversion, you can never know peace. And in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 37, say the Lord has rejected your confidence, your hope, your confidence. Whatever you think you have, the Lord has rejected. And in Acts chapter 9, verse 31, without the fear of God, you cannot have the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Which is, without conversion, you can never have the comfort of the Holy Spirit. And now in Psalm 135, verse 5, it says, God speaks only to His saints. So if you are not converted and you think you are praying to God, you are joking, because He will never speak to you. you are not his saint. You need to be converted and become a saint of God before we can have communication, true communication with God. Our third reason for conversion is, without conversion, then all that Christ has done and suffered on Calvary to you would be in vain. Look at what Christ has done. I think last week or so, I was watching news, and there was a girl in northern region that the parents or the brother said he had gone out and come home late, and they were flogging her. If you look at how they were flogging the girl, then my mind went to Christ, what they did to Christ, beating him and leaving him to die in agony, like blood flowing from him. And he was doing all these things for us, that we can be converted, we can believe in him and be converted. So if you are not converted, you see, all what Christ has done to you will be in vain. It means he has not done anything at all, and you can never, never, never benefit. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 3, Christ died to save us from sin. And I always emphasize, from sin and not in sin. We cannot say we have been saved and we are still living in sin. And Christ never died for unrepentant sinners. That's what we read in John 3:16. That those who will believe, who will repent and believe, are the ones who shall be saved. And how does Christ do this? We have already said his suffering on the cross and all that was involved was for us, that we shall be saved. We shall come to believe in him and then shall be saved. So he has two ways of saving us from this situation. First is the internal. He has the internal cause, which is the free grace that he has given us. Like I said, not by your works of righteousness, which no one can do, anything that we have done, but by his mercy and his grace. According to James chapter 1, verse 18, Romans 3, verse 21, Ephesians 2, verse 8. There has to be a work in you. There must be something done in you. When you see a clock, like the clock hanging there now, you see how it is ticking. There's something inside working that makes the clock tick. It's not like the hands there are ticking by themselves. There's something inside there that makes them tick. And that's how we are. Not until a work is done in us, we can never, never accept the gospel. The gospel will look foolish unto us. God works in us through Christ and the Holy Spirit. Then we are interested in the gospel. We can understand the gospel and we can turn to him and be saved. Not until then, we shall die in our trespasses. And then we have the external one as well, which is what he has done on the cross for us. His suffering on the cross, all the pains he bore. You see, you can compare it to women bringing forth. See how they go through pain to bring forth children. In the same way, Christ giving birth to us has to go through pain. The pain that he went through on the cross are pains that he used to bring forth us. So that is the external cause of our salvation. And what are the instruments that Christ does? He has done all these things for us, but yet there are some instruments which he uses to redeem us from this situation. And these are his ministry. The ministry of the gospel. His servants who go around and preach the gospel to people. Christ said, I have begotten you through the gospel. His ministries are that we go out and open the eyes of men and then send them to God. According to Acts chapter 15, verse 18. In brief, the instrument is by the preaching of the gospel. That is why Paul said, I'm a debtor and ready to preach the gospel. And look at how, if you read Romans chapter 6, chapter 1 from verse 15 to 19, we can't tell the how Paul describes the gospel, the power in the gospel. And yet, what do we see these days? People get the opportunity to go on the air, they have money to go onto the television, and yet they preach about worldly things. They think what the devil has taken from us are worldly things. God willing, in the beginning, we'll be talking more about this as well. I don't want to go there more. People are preaching as if the devil has taken our wives, our women to be married, our wealth, our money, our traveling to abroad. That is what he has taken. That is what he has taken. It is your dignity, your glory that God gave you. That is what he's taking from you. And that is what you must fight for. It is not worldly things. For worldly things, even people who don't believe in God are very rich. People who don't know anything about God, and yet they are very, very rich. People go to abroad when they don't know God. People get married when they don't know God. People have children when they don't know God. So it is not those things that the devil is taking from you. What he's taking from you is your dignity. He entices you to sin, and then he takes you away from God. So the gospel is the one that brings you back to God. This is the gospel that we should preach. That is the ministry. That is what God, Christ, has ordained. That this is the means that I'm saving people from their sins. It is not talking about miracles and how to make it in this world, how to travel, how to make money. No, that is not what the gospel is about. The gospel is about how you should be converted. When you are converted and you are with God, what do you fear? If you want to travel and you ask God, you think God will not give you if you think you should travel. If you want children and you ask God, you think God cannot give you. If you want money and God thinks that you need the money and you ask him, you think he won't give you. No. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all the other things, which is what we are talking about, your accommodation, whatever you need, he will give you. And they are nothing to God. But he needs you to be converted first, and then all these things shall follow. So the real instrument is the word. And the word, when we say the word, it is the gospel. The gospel of his redeeming grace, whereby we preach to people and people are convicted of their sins. See that what I've told you this morning, how the devil has taken your glory from God. If you know this, then you know that you have to fight back for it. And we can't fight it, so he has done it for you. He has come to lead a life of perfection, and for only you to believe in him, and he gives you that life so that you become like Christ. So when in future you go and face God, and God asks you, why should I allow you into my kingdom? You can refer back to God and say, you said, if I believe in your son and confess my sins to him, you will forgive me. So on the basis of that, which I have done, I cannot come to you. Otherwise, you can't go and tell God that I was the chaplain of this place. I was preaching here. No. God is not interested in all those things. He needs you to be converted, and then you can have good relationship with him. Because it's according to John 17:17, he said, thy word is truth, the only truth. There's only one truth, and the truth is that we need to believe in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and then our souls will be converted. So now, as we are drawing to conclusion, what do we need to do after hearing all these things? We need to turn unto him. Turn to Christ. Turn to Jesus Christ. And he has promised that whoever God has given him, nobody can take him from out of his hand. That is why we Baptists believe in one saved, forever saved. You must make the effort. He has done all that you need to do. Things that you can never do on your own. He has done it for you so that you can be saved. So believe in him. Believe in God, believe in his son that he has sent, that the death on the cross was for you. And once you believe and you confess your sins to him, your sins have been forgiven you right from that time that you say. It's an instant thing. It is not like a process. Once you believe and you confess to him, that same hour or minute, you are saved. And then, like I said earlier on, then he puts into you his Holy Spirit, who will now help you to lead a life that is pleasing unto him, which is called sanctification. And friends, as we are going to get into membership of this church, which Pastor has been emphasizing on regenerated membership, what it means is that you must be converted. You must be somebody who has believed in Jesus Christ. You must be somebody who has put your faith, your hope, your everything in Christ. And trusting in him alone. And like I said, when you come to meet God, you can defend why God should allow you into his kingdom. It's like going to meet a judge, and then the judge asks you, are you guilty or not guilty? Then you say, I'm not guilty. Well, then tell me why you are not guilty. Then you say, I'm not guilty just because I'm not guilty. Because when you ask people, and they said, when you ask them, where do they think they will go, heaven or hell? Most of them, 95% of them will tell you they will go to heaven. And yet when you ask them why they will go to heaven, it's like they, because they want to go to heaven. because they don't want to go to hell. That is the only reason why they believe that they can go to hell. This is very sad. And when you tell them this and this and this is what they must do before they can go to heaven, then their mind. So it is sad that people are not preaching this gospel. A lot of people don't know the way to heaven. They think like how things are done in this world. You do something to earn something, and therefore they think they must do something. They think it's too easy, too good to be true. So again, believe in somebody who died 2,000 years ago, and then you are saved. And that is what it says. With God, what is impossible to man is possible to God. And like I've explained to you, you can't do anything about this change of heart, a radical change or a new heart. You can't create any human being. How can you give a new heart to yourself? You have to trust in Him alone and what He has done on Calvary for your sins to be forgiven you. I hope if there's anybody here who has not done this, who knows, this might be my last time of preaching to you. You have to, wherever you are, don't tell anybody, tell God on your own that now you have believed that you are a sinner, that there's nothing you can do about your sin, that you believe that Christ's death on the cross is your only hope, and therefore He should pardon you and forgive you. If you haven't done it, please do it now before it is too late. Let's pray. Our gracious and merciful Father, Father, we thank You for Thy word this morning. We thank You for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and what He has done on the cross of Calvary. How He came to lay down His life, that through Him and our belief in Him, we shall be cleansed, we shall be forgiven of our sins, and shall be converted and to be restored to our original and the initial glory that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ gave to us. Oh, Father, come and bless these things in our hearts. Come and let Thy will be done. Let Thy word go so powerfully and change hearts this morning. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for hearing us, even as we come praying in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and for His sake. Amen.
Amen.